As one of God's children, do you cherish God's glory, God's throne, God's word, God's son, God's wisdom? These are the things that are above.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
There are 19 marks of ungodliness, and they describe people who, according to verse 6, creep into houses and lead captive, diminutive or little, it's translated silly, diminutive or little women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And it's probably not inappropriate to say that these are the characteristics of a creep, in the truest sense of the term, the marks of ungodliness. Wicked men, Paul says, and their menacing philosophies prevail in our day. Paul says that to Timothy. He could say it to us as well in this day and age. Wicked men and their menacing philosophies prevail in the world around us. They are a part of Satan's attack on our families. Very efficient, very effective attack on our families, on our churches, on our nation, our culture, on our world. So Paul says to them, and he says to every one of us, we are to know what these men are like, come to understand them, recognize the marks of their ungodly behavior, and see that you never in any way identify with them. Protect your family and those under your influence and your own life from these godless influences. As I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7 in particular, there are really only two things that stand out to me in an overview or an overall outline. The first thing I see is a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. In verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, there are four propositions that emerge, which in a very simple way give us a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. There are four propositions that emerge. Number one, Paul says, we are living in the last days. Number two, he says, these days will include seasons of peril or stress. Perilous times will come. Number three, he says, these seasons of stress will be the result of the activities of evil men, for men shall be. Then he tells us what they will be and how they will behave. And number four, he says, we are to understand this, to be perfectly clear about it, to expect it, and so be prepared for it when it comes. I want you to understand this. Now Paul says, I want to be a little more specific. I've given you a general characterization. Now I want to give you a specific characterization of the marks of ungodliness. Now in this list of specific characteristics of ungodly men who creep into houses and defile them, who destroy marriages and individuals and families and churches and cultures and nations and worlds by their philosophies and by their behavioral patterns, I want you to be very precise about these, the Apostle Paul says. And I'm going to unfold for you 19 characteristics of these men. And I would suggest, at least in a threefold way, that these men have something very wrong with them in three areas. One, something foundational. Let me give you the outline. There's something foundationally, essentially, fundamentally wrong with these men, and that is they love the wrong things. And there are seven words in this list that would identify that for us. And then they have something filial or family-oriented wrong with them. The first place in which their foundational problems emerge is within the ranks of the family. And I believe there are five terms that describe what goes wrong in the family. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful to parents. They're unholy, irreverent, disrespectful of parental authority. They're without natural affection. They don't love their parents as they should. And they're truce breakers. They refuse to sit down and negotiate a God-honoring peace, even within the ranks of the family. So one, there's something foundational wrong with them. They have wrong loves. Two, there's something filial or family-oriented wrong with them. And then finally, thirdly, there's something frenzied wildly wrong about them. Wild, violent, passionate activity characterizes these men, wider than the circumference of the family. And there are seven terms that would unfold that concept. They're false accusers, they're incontinent, they're fierce, they're despisers of good, they're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded. We'll look at all of those concepts on another occasion when we meet together. But now let's introduce this concept. What is foundationally wrong with these men? And that is that they love the wrong things. In fact, there are four terms in this passage which indicate that. The first two and the last two. The Bible says in verse 2, they're lovers of their own selves. That's the first thing that they love that they shouldn't love. They're self-lovers. And then the Bible says they're covetous. But you know what that Greek word really is? Silver lovers. Philargyria. Philos means to love. Argyros is silver. They're silver lovers. First, they're self-lovers, lovers of their own selves. Then they're silver lovers, covetous. And then the last two in verse 4, they're sensual lovers, lovers of pleasures. And the word is hedonism, sensual pleasure. And then finally, they're senseless lovers. They are not lovers of God. It's insanity not to love God. It's an act of senselessness. They are self-lovers, they are silver lovers, they are sensual lovers, and they are senseless lovers. The first and last descriptions in this passage give us an insight into the foundational and essential and fundamental problem that these godless men and godless society experiences. And that is that they love the wrong things. I don't believe this can be overemphasized. They're self-lovers. They're silver lovers. They're sensual lovers. And Paul says they're senseless lovers. They love pleasures rather than, not more than. More than implies that they love God a little bit, but sensual pleasure more. They don't love God at all. They're sensual lovers rather than lovers of God. And that's senseless. That's why I call it that, senseless lovers. It's sheer madness. It's sheer insanity not to love God. It's absolutely a senseless thing to remain in a context of severance from God. If you're without Christ, if you're without salvation, and you know it, maybe you're weighing it in your mind. Maybe you're contemplating it. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's sheer insanity to live out your life, even one day of your life, without Jesus Christ. He brings, and He alone brings, meaning and joy, purpose, forgiveness, relevance, direction down into our lives. It's senseless not to love God. This is the great perversion in these men. Their foundational problem, they don't love God. And it explains why they are the slaves of self, of silver, and sensuality. They've cut themselves off from the only source of true spirituality in the entire universe. And the result is they become victimized by the flesh, self. Victimized by finances, silver, and victimized by filth, sensuality, or sex. These are the great gods of modern society. Flesh, selfish desires, finances, silver, and filth, sensuality, or sex. These are the gods of our culture. And these gods can only destroy those who embrace them. But Jesus Christ can set us free from those godless influences. You shall know the truth, and the truth is in Jesus. And the truth will set you free, the scripture says. These are men who are victimized. They've chosen to live by the impulses of the material side of their nature. And the end of that choice can only be destructive. So Paul says, do you know what is absolutely critical? It is that you learn to love the right things. You know what's wrong with these men? Do you know why they creep into houses and destroy them? Do you know why they're eviscerated or emptied of meaning? Do you know why there is no direction, no purpose, no lasting joy, no substance to their way of life? Do you know why they come to the end of their days in grief and sorrow and depart into eternal sorrow in hell? Do you know why? Because they never learn to love the right things. They love themselves. They don't love God. They love silver and sensuality, but they don't love Christ, the Savior. And so the message is to us, be sure that you love the right things. Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. Do you know what's above? God's glory is above. Psalm 113, verse 4. And you show that you love God's glory by seeking to glorify Him in your life. God's throne is above, Psalm 11 and verse 4. And you show that you love God's throne by submitting to its authority and purposing to carry out God's will on earth as it's carried out in heaven. God's word is from above, Psalm 138 and verse 2. And you show that you love God's word by reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it, and obeying it. God's Son is from above, John 8 and verse 23. And we show that we love God's Son by receiving Him as our Lord and Savior and by heeding His commandments day by day. If you love me, keep my commandments. God's wisdom is from above, James 3 and verses 17 and 18. The wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable and then gentle and easy to be entreated and then full of mercy and good thoughts and actions. And I show that I love God's wisdom by asking Him for it, James 1 and verse 5, and by depending upon the Holy Spirit to reproduce its virtues in my life. I'm to love those kinds of things. I'm to set my affections on things above. I wonder how many of us as Christians have done that. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, but do we love those things which are above? Sometimes, like the Israelites, we long for the leeks and garlics of Egypt, and we forget the slavery that was in Egypt. God says the marks of ungodliness begin right here. And you who are Christians must learn to recognize and avoid those marks. And we must be committed to protecting those under our influences from them. Let me close with this. You may be unsaved right where you sit. You know that's true. If so, the Bible says you're failing to worship and love God as He wishes. And if you fail to love God as you ought, do you know what will happen? You'll begin to love things that you ought not. And then you'll be victimized like these men were. Flesh, finance, and filth will victimize you. You should come to Christ and purpose to love Him, and He'll set you free. You are a Christian. That's fine. Then, could you say that you have set your affection on things above? As one of God's children, do you cherish God's glory, God's throne, God's word, God's Son, God's wisdom? These are the things that are above, not on earth. Would you say, Pastor, I've been loving the wrong things, and my life is empty? Then I tell you, come and Christ will fill it. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I've got to be perfectly honest. I fail to set my affection on the things above. And that's why your life is impotent and without power. But without blessing, because you love the wrong things. Those are the marks of ungodliness, and those are the things from which we should turn away.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The showing of honor to parents was the fundamental prerequisite for enjoying long life. That is the first commandment with promise.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.